Kicking off hour number three in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it is Three and Out Fan Run Radio. Houston Kress, Adam Hickman, intern Brett with you for this final hour of the program. Hickman, I'm sorry you missed it. You missed an exciting game yesterday between the United States men's national team and Iran.
Sounds like I missed a beautiful crowd as well from the pictures going around Twitter.
It was a heavy Iranian crowd.
As expected.
And yes, naturally, a short trip for them. And there were a lot of very pretty women.
I would marry half of the crowd that I saw on the spot. Maybe that's an overreaction, but
I'd say more than half were dudes, but so you do you, whatever.
I mean, that whatever one, floats that your one, boat. That one lady that was going around Twitter yesterday, good Lord.
She is making the rounds on all of social media for her. I mean, it's unbridled beauty. She was a very attractive lady, no doubt about it.
How do you think Pulisic is feeling this morning?
Sore, swollen.
Yeah, hurting your penis and balls in front of a crowd of beautiful women is very.
We welcome in the classrooms around the state that have tuned into our show this morning. We apologize for Adam Hickman, and we hope you'll tune in again tomorrow, hopefully without the P&B talk. You got to remember, it's 9 o'clock. The kids are in school. Some teachers like to stream the show for the class.
If the teachers are streaming us for the class, then I think they got more important issues to worry about than
kids like sports
than basic anatomy.
Oh, we're winding.
He took one for the team. Should we say that
he may have given up his right to bear children?
He came back on the field.
He looked
gave
happy.
Us, 5 more minutes before half. So we don't have to waste a sub.
He looked like he was walking with a watermelon between his legs.
Yes.
They initially, I thought he got kneed in the stuff.
Yes.
They then said it was an abdominal injury. Mm-hmm. And on the replay, I did not see him get hit in the abdomen. They have now called it a pelvic contusion.
Yeah.
A knee to the pelvis.
How do you spell this guy's name?
What? Christian?
Pulisic.
All right.
That's not spelling.
Is this guy but good?
They call him Captain America.
That's a badass picture of him.
Hickman, he's on track to be one of the greatest soccer players in United States history. Plays for Chelsea. Yes, he's very, very good. He went. Where was he before Chelsea?
Dortmund.
Dortmund, that's what I thought.
Yes.
Here's a good video of his x-ray. That's fake. But
yes, it's very fake.
You want me to explain it?
No, earmuffs for the kids, please.
When men get excited around women, there is a natural body process that happens, and there is an eagle here with an American flag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, neck. I think we got it.
And
yeah.
It's rising to the occasion, just like the United States men's national team did yesterday when they defeated Iran 1-0.
Once and for all, can we call it Iran? That was the
and
weirdest
the,
exchange.
Oh man, I just
the scenes in Iran after the game.
Yeah,
right?
So Hickman has obviously no idea what's going on,
yes.
But Iranian citizens took to the streets to celebrate the loss to the United States, which I did not see coming ever, because apparently in Iran they view the soccer team as an extension of the government, and obviously right now. In Iran, there is a lot of
tension,
discontent, mm-hmm. frustration between Iranian government and its people. Never thought I would see the streets of Iran filled with fireworks, singing, dancing, partying, banging on drums for a loss to the United States in anything. But the United States does advance. They will now face Holland, the Dutch, the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. It's very confusing. There's a Seinfeld episode about all that. You want to check that out one time. I hope they don't wear the orange uniforms because there's something about – Netherlands are probably my second favorite team.
They're going to wear orange.
I don't know. Don't they have the blue? They have orange
they
ones
do,
and they have
but
blue
they're
ones.
They're going to be the home team. Cause they're
Dang
the,
it.
They're the one.
Dang it.
We're the two.
The
now,
home
we
team,
might wear blue.
I thought home team wore white.
I don't – maybe –
They've worn blue in the past.
Oh, and they do have two uniforms, three.
I was going to say, they have three or four, yeah. They always have,
but
when they wear that all orange, it looks so good.
The orange.
No, I know, it's their nickname. I was just wondering, depending on what we wear and what they decide to wear, if it was even possible that they wouldn't.
I mean, maybe we wear the blue like we were yesterday. I don't know.
Not a the biggest fan of the blue. It's fine. I'm not a big fan of the white either, to be honest, but it's a little bit better.
Right.
Will we be healthy enough to play?
I still think he's messing up the subs. Everybody's up in arms about Reyna.
Yep, everybody wants Reyna to play.
He's arguably our best player, and I don't know what's going on there.
Has he played at all yet?
I think he got in for a couple minutes in the second game.
That's baffling.
But, I mean...
Who's up next?
Welcome to the show.
All right, what are you doing?
What?
We just talked about who we're playing for like five minutes.
Saturday at 10 a.m. we play the Netherlands.
Or
the
Holland
Dutch.
Or the Dutch. It's all the same.
I hope it's not the Netherlands.
Netherlands, you idiot.
You said the
England,
Netherlands or Holland.
Netherlands, Holland, and the Dutch are all the same people.
Oh. I don't know how they do this crap.
You're so cultured. Yes, they
wanted to go to Amsterdam.
Could care less.
I feel like I'd be a fish out of water in Amsterdam, man. Yeah. I'd like to go see all the windmills on the countryside. That'd be kind of fun.
Windmills are cool.
These are very different windmills than the ones here.
Oh yeah,
these are like cottage. We live in them and they grind.
Yeah, like
flour.
These
windmills
were built in the 1890s.
Right. Yeah, but it's an intriguing matchup. Like I don't know. I feel like. When I've watched World Cups in the past, I always want to watch the Netherlands and I always want to watch the United States. And then obviously if it's like if Brazil's on, you want to watch a little bit of them, Germany. But now
Iceland and Canada if we're talking women's World Cup.
Okay, we know yes, you have a very specific taste.
Roberto does bring up a good point though about the Senegal versus playing the Dutch. Like if we were to win the group, we would have faced Senegal. Who's a very athletic team.
Super athletic. They look so good against Ecuador.
Yeah.
Even like Ecuador ties it and you're thinking, oh no. And then almost immediately Senegal goes down and pops another one in. Because their first one was a PK, right?
You can give England all they want.
England has looked really good though. In fact, I believe I read that this is sneakily England's best first round. Like their first, like the group stage.
Yeah.
This is the best.
They don't win the group.
Yeah. This is the best they've ever performed. Like goal differential.
And their coach is taking some heat too over in England. Not playing the right guys as well. And he started them yesterday because they were up in arms about a couple players.
Oh, he bought in? Like
he bought in. He played some guys. And I agree. I think he had the wrong lineup out there.
It's been working.
But when you win 6-2 in your first game.
Yeah, it's hard to say no.
When you tie 0-0, but then you change the lineup and you win 3-0 against Wales, who had pretty much given up. Though. Not that I watched any of it because it was always.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that one either.
So how many teams are left?
16.
Oh, did you discuss that too?
No, not the number, but you should know that
by now. So
there's
only four teams that have qualified for the next round. There's a next set of games today at 10 and at 2. So we'll get, eight more advanced? Four more advanced today.
Yes. In 45 minutes, you get Tunisia and France.
France have looked real good. They've already qualified, actually.
They have? Okay.
Yeah, France has won both their games.
You get, also at 10, Australia and Denmark. At 2, you will get Mexico and Saudi Arabia. And then the final game will be Poland, Argentina at 2.
Yeah,
well, those are both at 2.
There's a lot of moving parts in that group.
Yeah. Because Argentina's...
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that can happen.
It's a weird
I would imagine France is favored over Tunisia by probably a few goals.
Yeah, like I said, France is going to put some of their second team guys in. They've already won the group. So... But they've been rolling. They've probably looked the best over anybody in the World Cup so far.
I will say, I'll give some credit to Tunisia here.
Oh, yeah?
One of the cooler flags.
You a big flag guy?
Yeah, you know, like, I wouldn't call myself a flag guy, but when a flag is cool, it definitely does stand out, and it definitely is worth, like, appreciating.
You like the moon and the star?
Yeah.
Big fan of such things? Moons and stars and... All right, well, we just hope the best for Christian Pulisic and all the other...
He tweeted out a nice photo from the hospital bed, didn't he?
Yeah, wasn't it like, bleep, yeah, let's go, something.
He said,
I'm in pain.
I'm bleeping proud of my guys,
yeah.
USA, I'll be ready for Saturday, which hopefully he will, because that's kind of big. At least you do get the longer break between the end of this and...
5 days, I guess.
Yeah, you'll get 5 days.
How long till the final match?
So this round, and then they go to quarters, the 16th.
It's like 2 weeks?
Yeah. I think it ends right before Christmas.
I think that's right.
just the scheduling sucks for us Americans here in the States just because of the time change and all that. And
it's been a lot worse before.
I mean, last night's game in Qatar for the U.S. I think was 11:30 p.m.
local time
over there.
Yeah, which is weird that they have 30-minute time changes in Qatar.
Yes.
They were saying like one game had to start at a certain time. I mean, they started at the same time, but because they were 60 miles apart, it was a 30-minute time difference.
Is that really how they pronounce it?
Well, it depends. Like, locally, I believe they pronounce it Qatar. But then here, most people say Qatar.
I say Qatar.
Like guitar?
Like guitar.
I think I've done a pretty good job of, you know, helping branch out the non-soccer fan to maybe being interested in soccer.
You've watched none of the World Cup. You watched none of yesterday. You didn't know our best player was Christian Pulisic. You didn't know that the Dutch, Holland, and the Netherlands were the same people. How have you helped people branch out this morning?
I told them that the Iranian women were hot.
Take a quick break. Come back and continue. Hour number three. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Thank you, Adam Hickman.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
Nice song choice as we head into the meat of basketball season, bowl season, Christmas, of course. You humming along back there? It's good.
Hallmark movie season.
Oh, God. How many have you watched so far?
I've actually not watched any yet. I usually don't start that until December 1st, which is tomorrow.
Yes, it's true. Don't forget to pay your rent, folks, if you do such things. Last night on the hardwood, a couple games of interest. Number one, Houston defeats Norfolk State 100-52. Are they that good? They might be, huh?
Houston? Nah. Yeah.
Hard to say.
They might be that good.
I think there's a pretty decent cluster of teams at the top of college basketball this year that could all make a really strong argument to be ranked number one in the country right now. I think Houston's one of those.
I think Purdue.
Purdue jumped a ton in this last
Texas
update.
Has a good argument to be number one. And then Tony Bennett and Virginia, finally back to looking like Tony Bennett and Virginia.
In the good ways and the bad ways, they did go to Michigan last night. They won. They won 70-68. Michigan, I mean, they're supposed to take a step back this year. They're currently unranked, but Virginia did go to Michigan and win. This one surprised me. Number six, Baylor, went to Marquette last night and lost 96-70.
Huh?
Yeah. Wow. Baylor got housed at Marquette.
You don't normally see 100 points in a college basketball game. Did you say 96-70.
Marquette.
That seems like a lot of points.
No, it's a ton. I mean, Houston putting up 100 Baylor against Norfolk State, like, that's not that big of a deal. Whatever.
Yeah.
Syracuse is awful. They're, I think, 3-4 now. They lost at Illinois last night, 73-44. Kentucky was tied at the half with Bellarmine. They did turn it on a little bit in the second half. They won 60-41, but Wildcat Nation very disappointed in the offense for Kentucky early in the season, which, if they would listen to Coach Calipari, they would understand, because he warned them about 2 weeks ago that it may take this team some time to kind of hit their stride, especially on the offensive end of the floor. They did get the win. I don't believe they covered. I believe that was a pretty big line. But Kentucky does survive Bellarmine at Rupp. Maryland, Tennessee's upcoming opponent, not obviously in the next game, but they do play them, I think, in the next three or four. Maryland up to number 22. They are undefeated. They went to Louisville and won 79-54. Louisville is now, yes, that Louisville, 0-7. The Louisville Cardinals, 0-7 under their first-year coach, whose name has just escaped me.
Louisville?
Yeah.
Oh, they got that one guy.
Yes, thank you. That's very good.
Crap, what's his name?
I don't know how long he'll be there.
Grant, is that his last name?
I don't think that's right, but maybe. I don't know. Louisville lost to Bellarmine in game one. They've lost to Wright State. They lost to Bellarmine by one, to Wright State by one, to Appalachian State by one. Then it looks like maybe their confidence was a little shaken. They lost to Arkansas by 26.
Kenny Payne,
that's right. Payne, yeah. They lost to Texas Tech 70-38. 38. They lost to Cincinnati 81-62, and then last night to Maryland 79-54. I don't know how long Kenny Payne I've never seen that happen at
with a respectable Power Five program.
Yeah, it's his first year, so obviously he's got a lot of work to do. But 0-7, 3 1-point losses, and now you're just getting blowed out every game. Like, what's the protocol for that? I don't know. Like, do you fire a basketball coach midseason
after
in his first year?
Seven games in his first year.
Well, no, what does it have to get to where you start thinking about it?
I mean, at a proud
program
digits? Like Louisville.
Basketball school.
I know. That's what
basketball
I'm saying.
Basketball state.
Like, if you get to 0-10, are you just like, all right, this ain't working?
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't get paid much.
I don't know. It's Louisville.
Lenardi came out with bracketology last night.
Already?
Yeah.
We'll get to that here in a second. Tennessee does play McNeese State tonight, 7:15. Hickman, you had the line earlier. What did you say, 33.5-point favorites are the Vols?
Might have been higher than that.
It's up to 35 now. Yeah. 35. Tennessee, a 98.4% chance of victory. Give me the number one seeds, Brett.
Do you want to take – well, I mean, I would say you want to take guess, but
– nah, it's
obviously
a little early.
All right, Houston's your number one overall seed.
Naturally.
Texas, Arizona, and Virginia.
Yeah.
We have a trip to Arizona coming up next month.
We have a brutal stretch.
We have an absolute slobber knocker of a schedule
December.
The next month.
Yeah.
We got Maryland in like 2 weeks.
You play Maryland December 11th.
They're ranked, what, 22nd right now?
Yep,
22nd. Beat Louisville last night. Then you are at number 4, Arizona, on December 17th. So a week turnaround, but that's two ranked opponents. Feels like you probably need to split those. And you're playing Maryland in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, by the way.
With the basketball coach that Billy Statz and I wanted to see at Tennessee.
Who's
eventually.
That? Who's
Kevin
that?
Willard.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Tennessee's currently a 3 seed.
I don't know if I buy that.
And you got
what do you mean?
Two teams in your side of the bracket that you probably don't want to see.
Why would you not think Tennessee is a 3 seed? I mean, I know they're 13th, but you're 13th because of a bad loss to Colorado.
Saying we should be a 2 seed.
Oh, okay, I got you.
We're moving up. You got Purdue as the 2 seed in our region, and then also Michigan's on.
Don't like that one damn bit.
Michigan's what?
Michigan's a 10 seed. Right,
I was gonna say, yeah.
I think they were a 10 seed last year when they beat us, weren't they?
No, they weren't that low.
Were they 8? What seed did we get? We were mad because we got like a 2 or 3 when we should have been a 2.
I thought they were better seeded than that, though.
Who else? Any other? Let's see. Who else is a 2 seed?
What's Kentucky right now? Are they a 3 also? Gosh. Michigan last year was an 11 seed.
So, yeah, because we were a 3, and they beat the 6 seed in that tournament.
Painful memories there. Didn't really want
to. I'm trying to find
Kind of hoping that wouldn't be the case.
Gonzaga's a 4 seed right now. And they were preseason 1.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina's a 4. Where's Kentucky? Kentucky's a 6 seed right now and dropping, it shows.
6, really?
Mm-hmm. They would play Penn State right now.
Hmm.
So.
Tennessee, of course, gets McNeese State tonight, Alcorn State December 4th, Eastern Kentucky on the 7th, then travels to Brooklyn to play Maryland on December 11th. At Arizona, December 17th. They're back for the final tune-up before SEC play on December 21st. Then they get a week off, of course, for Christmas. They open up the SEC slate on the road at Ole Miss.
Should be a good little, first conference game of the season. Should take care of business there.
Ole Miss is currently 6-1.
You think we see Triple J at all? Maybe some sparing?
I doubt you'll see him in the next 3 games.
That first big one against Maryland.
I doubt you'll see him in the next 3. Unless he feels – Rick Barnes said he
maybe
wants him to be 100%. Hang on.
Okay.
Rick Barnes wants him to be 100%.
That's true.
And he said it's up to Triple J. So basically it's a pain tolerance thing, and they've told him do not rush back, and especially with the next 3 opponents, like you should be fine.
Yeah.
I would hope he's ready by Maryland because he sat out – let's see. Did he play against Gulf Coast? He did, right?
Yes.
Okay, he sat out Butler, Southern Cal, Kansas. If he sits out McNeese State, Alcorn State, Eastern Kentucky, that will be What was the date of that Butler game? That's almost three.
That was the day
two
before
weeks?
Thanksgiving, right? Was it a Wednesday night?
That'd be two and a half weeks for some soreness.
He was shooting the ball really well. He's averaging 13-7, and he's shooting 50% from three and like 60% from the field.
I don't think you play him this next three-game stretch you got here.
I think you got to give him a little run.
Maybe give him who's the last Alcorn State?
No, Eastern Kentucky. That's what I'm thinking. Like if he says he's ready, like let's say it, you before Alcorn State, he says he's ready. I'm not going to play him against Alcorn State. I'll give him 10 to 15 minutes against Eastern Kentucky. See how he feels after that. Or maybe if he says he's ready, maybe you give him 10 to 15 against Alcorn State. See how the knee responds, and then you decide. You know, sit him for Eastern Kentucky, or if he feels good after that, you play him a little bit more in that one.
Yeah, I mean, it makes – because I don't know, even when he does get back and he gets 100%, does he start? I mean, do you have that 1-2 punch off the bench with Ziegler? I mean, that'd be nice, right?
I think he'll start, but it
– Who do you bump off? Tyreek Key, I guess?
Yeah.
But that's a big team.
No, I don't think you can do it with Key because I think you got to have another guard
you
with Vescovy.
Julian Phillips?
I think they really like starting Kumwa with Uroš. I think it might be Phillips.
He's always liked the two bigs.
Yeah, he would do that last year, and then we'd go to the small ball lineup. But I think it's got to be Phillips. But it also probably depends on how Phillips responds if he's going to be the starter for the next three games, because he looked really, really good against Southern Cal. Not as good against Kansas, but really only Vescovy looked really good against Kansas offensively. But yeah, I think it just depends on how Phillips plays. I mean, if he starts to dominate like he did against Southern Cal, and it's going to be tough with the next three opponents because obviously they're not very good. But if he's out there just dominating and he's getting better in the system, then maybe you slide Jay to the four and say Kumwa comes off the bench. Maybe you move Kumwa to the five and Uroš comes off the bench. It does. I mean,
I'm for that one. Uroš off the bench.
We know you are. But to Brett's point, and it's accurate, Rick Barnes, when he can, does like the two big lineup.
I don't know why.
Well, because it works. We're 5-1.
Don't really bring much to the table offensively.
We're 5-1, and the only game we've lost was when Uroš got hurt.
Yeah, and the one game of the year he could have had a really good impact in.
Hickman, do you hear yourself?
I'm saying he would have had a good he would have had a good impact.
Yes, he might be the lone reason we lost. Because he got hurt.
I'm complimenting the guy.
Then why do you want him to come off the bench?
Because he can't score.
You know, there's two sides to basketball. I don't know if you know this. Like, in football, a quarterback usually only plays quarterback. In basketball, you play offense and defense. And everyone throws passes. It's crazy. It is a wild game. You should check it out sometime.
Yeah, it's 2022.
What are we going to do with this guy?
He's an outdated big who can't do much. He can't dribble. If he puts the ball on the floor, I guarantee you it's a turnover every time.
That was one of the frustrating things against Southern Cal and
Kansas
was putting the ball on the floor when you're basically under the rim.
Like, just jump.
I get that it's a comfort thing. Like, you want to do the dribble and spin. Just use your pivot foot. Kumwa did it a bunch. Uroš did it a bunch. Phillips did it a couple times. Like, get the ball, spin to the basket. If it's not there, kick it out. I don't like putting the ball on the floor, especially against good teams like Kansas. I still think we should have beat Southern Cal by 50. I'd like to play them again. They kept hitting garbage shots, and we couldn't throw it in the ocean. Obviously, we still got the win, but it took overtime to do it. Kansas, if we don't turn the ball over 1,000 times, we could win that game by 30. That would have been a statement.
Did we talk about the change from we're going to have the ACC-SEC challenge now?
No, we did not mention
that. That's a shame.
Well, who would you want to play? Would you want to play a Duke in Carolina each year?
Is this, I guess? Well, it'll rotate. Right?
I know, but they usually try and get the
top of the top. Yeah.
Kentucky's going to play one of them. You got to think each year.
Yeah.
I guess
but they already played North Carolina
quite a bit.
That's true.
I mean, it'd be cool to do a home and away against Duke, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be for that. And I think to your point, like they're going to try
to like it better than doing the Big 12. Like we had been doing.
Yeah. I mean, let's change it up. Let's get with the ACC. That's fine.
Because you're going to get Texas and Oklahoma now in basketball, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that I wonder if that's one of the reasons
that's
they did it.
That's probably why.
Yeah. It makes more sense for us to go, we're going to go find a new conference to do this with. Because those are the two big teams that everybody, well, them in Kansas, but we ain't taking Kansas in football. But, no, I think that's what they'll do, right? Like, they try to seed it top to top or at least close. So, hopefully, you're getting, Yeah, I mean,
I don't know who else you'd want to play. I mean,
a Duke, a Carolina. Obviously, we got Maryland this year.
Who else? Virginia would be a good one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that.
Who
else is in the ACC?
I don't know, Florida State. They're kind of up and down.
Playing Forbes. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, I thought about that.
Yeah.
Get him back in here. That'd be kind of a fun homecoming for him. I think he'd get celebrated.
Outside of those top four teams we just mentioned there, like, nobody really does it. Like, going and traveling to NC State for a basketball game, just snooze fest. Like, I don't care about that.
I feel like we did that not long ago, didn't we?
I feel like they would pair the Clemson matchup with Tennessee just because of Rick Barnes, the history there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Clemson, every now and then, like, it's almost like once out of every, like, 5-6 years, they'll have, like, a really good team early on and then just nothing.
Who's Virginia Tech's coach now?
Isn't it Buzz Williams?
No, he's at A&M.
Oh, that's right. I can't remember.
I can't remember who they hired after
I'm on it.
I mean, I know it's Virginia Tech. They're not exactly a blue blood.
Mike Young.
Okay. That might be a fun trip for some people to make if they wanted to go check out Tennessee and Blacksburg. It's not too bad of a drive.
I would rather Tennessee, or not Tennessee, but like the SEC, be paired with the Big Ten.
I think there's some drama between the SEC and the Big Ten stemming from football. I don't think those two conferences want to help each other out one iota. Just a hunch. I could be wrong. But, yeah, I think you want to get paired with hopefully you're getting paired with teams at the top of the ACC because that means you're at or near the top of the SEC. Wait a quick break. Come back. Second to last segment, hour number three. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. We'll hop straight to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, get Matthew on here before we wrap things up a little bit. Matthew, good morning, sir.
Hey, Houston. Hey, Brett. Hey, Adam. How are we doing today?
Doing well. We've calmed down a little bit after the playoffs.
Speak
ranking
for yourself.
Okay, sorry.
We're not surprised. Like, it is what it is. We knew that was going to happen.
Not surprised in the least, just disappointed in their answers.
That's why I'm confused as to why I'm so mad, because I knew for a week that we were going to be behind Alabama.
Exactly.
And then, like, I'm sitting on the couch, and they're just running down the list, and, like, I start sweating, I'm shaking, I'm like, there's a chance.
The people I was with, I mean, we were, like, screaming mad for 20 minutes, and I'm like, why? I knew this would happen. This was inevitable.
You know what's funny, Houston? I texted right after it happened. A buddy of mine isn't big Alabama fan, and he's actually very cordial. He knows that, you know, he even said it they got it wrong, but he'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course they are.
Yeah,
they're all over there. They're celebrating like they beat because they're ahead of us in the rankings. They're celebrating as if they beat us in the regular season. Like, it's kind of a strange
and
them at like 20%
juxtaposition. Yeah,
if they don't make it, ultimately we're going to be the reason they were kept out.
Well, that's a good way to put it. It's a good fallback.
Guys, as we wrap up football and we kind of transition to everyone's favorite time of the year, basketball, you know, the portal kicked off on Monday. I guess my question is, I'd love to hear y'all kind of each give your own take of how you rank it. But when it comes to the offseason, from like one being like absolute need to like five being more of a want, like where do you see the positions you really want to see Tennessee go after in the portal? Like, for me, it's probably tight end, I think. It's probably a massive need just because there's no given that Jacob Warren will use that 6 year, and we don't really have an answer at tight end. And then second, I'd probably, because we bring in Jordan Matthews in the recruiting trail, I actually don't have corner as high. I would actually look at the defensive line because as good as they are, there's nobody that you can replace with Byron Young. I mean, it's just that's my two cents. And then the third position – I still go running back. I know you got Jabari Small and Jalen Wright and Dylan Sampson, but even this season you saw that Jabari Small, at times, that shoulder would give in. So I always love having a plethora of backs, and I don't necessarily think we're going to go into the quarterback portal just because, I mean, what kid is going to come in here knowing that you're probably not going to beat out Nico, and then you actually – I don't know. It's a weird position at quarterback right now. So I'll hang up on that, guys. Hope you have a great rest of your day. And as always, go Vols.
Thanks, Matthew. Number one position. I
want SEC ready cornerbacks. I mean, I know we have a really good recruiting class with cornerbacks coming in here, but like asking those guys to be SEC caliber starters and impact players year one is kind of a lot to throw on their plate there.
Well, didn't you think you had that with Haddon and Turnage?
I mean, yeah,
from
you did.
Auburn and Bama.
And they regressed. I mean, like we saw some flashes from Haddon last year that, you know.
He had some flashes earlier this year.
And was just really excited about the kid.
Yeah. Then he just fell off late, and then against South Carolina,
looked
I don't know
like
what the
dumbass.
Hell. What about linebacker?
Yeah.
You bring back Mitchell, but you lose Banks. Do you lose Beasley?
No, he's still here.
Beasley's got one more year, I believe.
Okay.
And Solon Page is gone, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're
safety?
Yeah, safety.
Yeah, because you lose both.
Yeah, and frankly, you weren't good there anyway. Mm-hmm. I think safety's a big one. You're going to have a lot of bodies at corner, especially with all the new guys. But if
Warren Burrell healthy next year.
You're going to have him, Turnage, and Haddon hopefully healthy. You got Wesley Walker, who I thought made a couple of really nice plays against Vanderbilt. And then you're bringing in 3 4-star corners. And I think they're all enrolling early. Didn't you say that earlier, Brett?
Yes.
Yeah, so
that's big.
That's help. You've got a couple of safeties that are enrolling early. But again, if you can get a guy that's ready to go out of the box, like that's, I think, what you would go with. I think another linebacker is important. I like the tight end call because I don't know if you guys saw the video. They showed the final tackle for the Vanderbilt game. I think it was for just the seniors, and Jacob Warren did go through it.
Mm. And you got a tight end coming in, Ethan Davis. Big kid.
Yeah, he's good. He's coming off an injury, though.
Yeah, he's 6'5",
220. Torn labrum.
Yes, it was a shoulder, yeah.
He's a .946.
4-star?
On 247.
I feel like he was a 5 before he committed, but I could be wrong.
He's our 4th-ranked recruit behind Nico, Shadavian Bradley, Caleb Herring, and David Hobbs.
I like that you're adding so many defensive guys at the top of your list there. And then obviously a quarterback.
Edge rusher, David Hobbs is run stuff. And
D-tackle.
I do want to go out and find a physical, more SEC-caliber style running back.
I think you hit Trey Sanders as hard as you can.
Yeah. That's
you think
one.
Is he the one? Is he the
I mean he's the top
top running back in the portal right now?
By far, probably. I don't even know if there's another one out.
Former 5-star recruit. You gotta make a push. And I also do want to grab a quarterback.
You do?
I do want to grab a quarterback. And like Matthew said though, you're kind of in a rough spot.
You are.
A transfer quarterback this year.
Hey, you're not going to start this year because we have Joe, who's probably going to be the. You could beat him.
No. I won't. Yeah.
Don't you have 3 guys on campus right now?
Yeah.
There's a good chance.
Well, 2 plus Nico will be here.
There's a good chance that if you do get a transfer portal quarterback, that he does end up taking over the job from Joe Milton at some point.
I would say it's a good chance.
There's a decent chance.
There's
a decent chance he wins the starting job in the offseason. But like, you can't really bank on going out in the portal grabbing a good quarterback when the pitch is, hey, good chance you don't start. We got Nico sitting waiting for a year. He'll be chomping at the bit to get in his sophomore year. So,
yeah.
I mean.
And then you got to beat Joe and Taven, and then probably whoever doesn't win the job transfers again, I would imagine. Maybe Nico doesn't transfer.
If Nico sits on the bench for 2 years, he's gone.
Yeah, Billy was saying, I don't know if he saw it on Vol for Life Facebook or if someone replied on Twitter and said, I want Nico to sit for 2 years and then learn the system and take
that's
the
not happen.
I don't know that that will ever happen again.
No, it won't.
Not with a guy who comes in as a 5-star. If someone comes in as a 3 and all of a sudden they're very good, yeah, you can keep those guys for a couple years. And then they just, like Hendon Hooker, kind of take over, win the job, and then they're really good. I think the days of signing a 5-star and saying, we're going to redshirt you, you're going to sit a year, and then maybe you'll have a shot to compete. I just think those days are over.
All the videos you see of Nico, he throws a great deep ball.
He's good.
Those guys.
He's good. Yeah, so. He's got to put on a little bit of weight, and then he's got to learn the system, which I would guess he's already got a head start at that.
He's going to be here in like 2 weeks.
Oh, no, sure.
I mean, like, guys, there's a chance he's your day one starter.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And if you're going into it next year and it's close, if it's neck and neck, if it's a close quarterback battle, you give me the freshman who has 3 guaranteed years here.
No, I agree with that. I would hate that for Joe
if
it's close, but I think that's probably the right move. Because you'd only have Joe for 1, and if you if you were to upset Nico and he left, whew, that would just feel really, really terrible. Call me crazy, and I'm not saying it's my number one. Guys, I want to go sign. I want to get one big-time receiver.
There's plenty to choose from in the portal.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I want one dude who is either a speed burner like Hyatt, but like decent size. Hyatt's like, what, 5'11", 6 foot?
6 foot.
Like, I love Squirrel White, but he's, you know, 5'8", 160. Give us another or one of those guys who's 6'4", and can really stretch the field.
We got some burners coming in our class. Lee Falk's killing it.
I just want one guy who's done it before.
Yeah,
one guy who's
proven. Kind of what you wanted.
Especially when they can come in. Yeah. Man, we had him, and then Texas swoops in. Like, that guy in this offense would have been a freaking stud.
That guy was ready to move into his damn condo downtown.
Oh, I know.
And then he'd gone.
I can't remember what the report was that Texas offered him to make him flip, but apparently it was.
I think Dominic Lovett, you know, he would be a good grab in the portal.
He'd be a really good grab.
Is it
Dante Jones from Oregon? Is it Jones? I know it's Dante something.
Dante Thompson. Right?
He looks like the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know how he didn't have more production at Oregon this year with what Bo Nix did, but just watching some film on him, I was blown away.
My thing with Lovett that makes him so appealing is he's, you know, like Jalen Hyatt's going to kill you deep. Brew McCoy is going to be your Juwan Jennings, like maybe third short.
Yep.
Need a catch. Need somebody to just
somebody in traffic.
Someone.
Yeah.
Dominic Lovett, and like, first of all, I'm not saying Hyatt's coming back next year because I just saw him at number 26 overall in the mock draft.
Thornton.
Yeah. But the thing about Lovett is he's a guy who can kill you at all three levels.
Mm. Versatile.
Yeah, he's a versatile receiver.
Yeah, Dante Thornton, 6'5". Runs like a deer, super long arms. I like that guy's film. He looks super fast. He doesn't look like your average 6'5 guy who was like kind of stiff, and he looks kind of like Justin Hunter.
He's not as fast as you think. He ran 11 seconds in the 100 meters.
No, I don't care. He's big and fast and gets off the ball quick. Maybe he's just not a long strider.
Maybe he's a Calvin Johnson. Just go
not,
get it.
Not nearly that big or that fast, but he'd be. He'd be just kind of a different piece than some of the things we already have on campus. But yeah,
6'6"?
6'5", yeah. He caught 26 passes for 542 yards. It's a pretty good average.
Yeah.
He only had 3 touchdowns in 2 years, but I like the average yards per catch on that one. We'll hit a quick break, come back, final segment, hour number 3. It's 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio. Final segment, 3 and Out Fan Run Radio. We appreciate you listening whenever, wherever, and however you chose to do so.
It's game day.
If you want to check out the podcast, you can do that anywhere you get your podcast: Apple Store, Android, Google, SoundCloud, others that I can't think of off the top of my head.
I would recommend the soccer segment from earlier. If you missed that, go find it. A lot of good content there.
We thank Adam Hickman for his contributions each and every day on the show. It's very important that we maintain a professional attitude, and he does just that. Tennessee, McNeese State tonight, 7:15. Vols a 35-point favorite. That seems like a big number. Do the Vols cover?
Oh, man. I'm going to say yeah. I think they do.
I mean, I'm going one of two ways here, right? Like a little bit of a Atlantis hangover, like come out a little sloppy, or they come out energized and pumped up and ready
making
to
making a bunch of threes.
Yeah, that's how it's going to happen.
Maybe they got the long jet lag. Not like the long COVID.
There's not a time change.
Doesn't matter.
I think it does. I think that's the point. Is if you go East Coast to West Coast, you know 4 hours and.
Santiago Vescovi is our leading scorer with 11 points a game. That's kind of embarrassing. Now, McNeese State on the year, they knocked off Champ Christian, or Champ Christ, 110-54.
This is the segment I recommend for the podcast so far.
Tulane put a beatdown on them. Western Carolina, beatdown. They lost
to
Lyndon Wood.
They're 2-5, right?
Yeah, they are 2-5 on the year. Baylor beat them by 29.
Who was the last team they lost to?
Lyndon Wood.
Okay, just checking. Baylor beat them by what?
29.
And Baylor got housed last night by Marquette?
Yeah, no, they did. We played UT Martin. No, did we? No.
I don't think so.
Football.
UT Martin beat them by 3.
No, we played Tennessee Tech. So you almost had it.
We did play Martin in football.
Yes, we did.
Do you think we cover Houston?
I'm going to say yeah. If Baylor beat them that bad and Baylor got beat by Marquette that bad and we're playing pretty good, we figured it out on defense, we're starting to hit some shots, I think being back home, I don't think the crowd will be very good, but you know, being back home, yeah, I think we'll cover 35. I don't think it'll be like a pretty cover of it won't
we
be
don't
like
get to triple digits.
No. I don't think it'll be like this a 90-50 game. I think it'll be like, you know, probably an ugly
like Florida Gulf Coast score.
Get hot late and pull away.
79-41.
Is McNeese
if they
State,
can score?
Are they in Kentucky?
Now he's asking the tough questions. I want to say yes, but don't quote me on that.
I mean, they are the Cowboys, but I mean Kentucky not really known for Cowboys. Or if they were just like the Broncos or the Stallions, kind of makes sense. But their best player is Christian. Makes no sense.
A lot of Cowboys in Louisiana, too.
Christian Schumate is...
Say that one more time.
Schumate. Christian
just
Schumate.
Just one more time.
Schumate.
Bingo. Perfect.
He is their best player. He is a sophomore from Chicago, 6'7", power forward. On the season, just under 13 points, 12.9 to be exact. He averages 10.6 rebounds. Almost a block a game. Not a good free
Did
throw
you say
shooter.
Almost a block
almost
a game?
Almost a block okay. a game. Not a good free throw shooter. He's shooting at 29.4% from the line this year. And funny thing is, he's shooting at 50% from three. So,
How many threes has he taken?
Let's see.
Is he like one of two?
Apparently, he actually does shoot it a lot because he was 100%, 50%. Well, I don't know. It doesn't tell the exacts. But, anyways, if this guy gets the ball down there in the post, it's going to be Haka Schumate tonight, hopefully.
We have six guys averaging double figures.
Balance, depth, it's important.
If you count Josiah Jordan James, he only played 3 games, but he's averaging 13. So everybody else plays.
He'll hover around that for the year, I'd imagine. 13.
You got Ziegler, Phillips, Key, Vescovi, and James all in double figures.
The good thing about James, though, is he can jump off for 20.
Come on, might as well be. He's like 9.6.
What's your OSHAT?
Let me scroll down. 2.6.
No, yeah, your OSHAT. Yeah.
12 minutes. 3 rebounds.
2.6 points per game.
Shooting
Let's
33%
go.
From the foul line, 40% from the field, and the guy can basically touch the rim standing up. It's not good.
Don't put the ball on the floor, Yarosh. Get a big win versus McNeese State. Send the Cowboys packing. We'll do it again tomorrow. I think the blitz is next, but I haven't heard anything.